We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. I love useless, and I love self-pity. They're two of the things I've done best over the last 40 years. And when they said they're going to disappear, I did not treat this as good news. And I said, oh dear God, don't take those away from me. And God didn't for a long, long time. Useless and self-pity. Doomed. I talked to my sponsor today. We shared doom on the phone today. He had this impending sense of doom, and I had this impending sense of doom. And it was just wonderful to talk about it, you know, and laugh about it and just say, well, there it is. It's part of being Irish, maybe, I don't know. But just this feeling that it's getting colder, you know, and the world's grinding down to a halt, and in 100 zillion years the sun's going to burn out, you know, and then what are we going to do? That's my doom. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Well, I was kind of embarrassed by that because I'd been in the seminary forever, and I thought that should have already taken place. You know, I should have already been Mr. Generosity. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I didn't want that to happen. I hate change. I had fought for every one of my ideas, and I wasn't going to give them up. They said, get rid of your old ideas, even your good old ideas. Get rid of them. We have to start over. Not me. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. This is an important thing to talk about. Because what we hear culturally on that is, we will never be afraid of people again, and we'll all get rich. And that's not what it says. First, on the money thing, there's disagreement on this, but see, I don't think that God only loves the rich. And therefore, if God loves you, God will make you rich, white and thin, you see. There are people who really buy that stuff. And it's very hard for them to realize that God is an equal opportunity lover, and your economic status, color of skin, denomination, sexual orientation, or age doesn't bother God very much, if at all. Someone points, see, all I want to do is be rich and powerful. Check that. I don't want to be rich. I just want to be powerful. The only reason I like money is because what money lets you do. You see, so I want to be able to write people checks for $10,000 and change their lives and fix things and build monuments. That's all I want to do. Well, that's called playing God, you see. And someone in Berkeley pointed out, if you want to see what God really thinks of money, look at the kind of people God gives money to. This was just after the Duvaliers left Haiti and the Marcoses left the Philippines, you know, with a couple of 100 pairs of shoes and, you know, a lot of gold bullion. Looking at people who are authentically spiritual, real, genuine spiritual leaders, money may or may not be part of their lives, but they sure don't worship it. And if they have it, it's just one of those things they have, and they're very free from it. You know? And like I like pointing out, in my tradition, we're told to be like Jesus, who didn't have cash. The only one of the 12 apostles that had cash was Judas, who kept the books. You know. So it's kind of worth reflecting on this sometimes, I think. Oh, and this fear of people. I find if I get hungry, angry, lonely, tired, I conclude that I have nothing in common with you. That isolates me. It really does. And I become afraid of you. And I become convinced that if you know me, you'll reject me, or you'll judge me, or you'll think I'm trivial. So fear comes back on a regular basis for me, and when it does, I have some tools to use that I've learned in the program. One is stand still in a moving crowd. You know, if like I go to a big AA convention, that's when I usually experience a lot of fear. Do not stay in the room, you see, like your hotel room, waiting for someone to knock. They won't. What I have to do is leave the hotel room and go out to the lobby and stand there just like this, you see, waiting for someone to stop. And there, everyone there is everyone else's best friend, and you don't know anybody. So I wait and notice someone else who is rigid with fear also leaning against the wall, and then I wander over and say, hello. My name's Tom, where are you from? And we exchange things like where you're from, how long you've been sober, what's your shoe size. Real simple things. And we've made contact, and if I can make contact with one, I can start making contact with two, and it might take me 10 to 12 hours, but I will break through the fear. But it's by making some action, and then for the rest of the convention, this character I bumped into, we're fast friends. Whenever we see each other, we just wave, and we're so happy. Know each other long? Yeah, since Friday. We were equally afraid, you know, we had a lot in common. Economic insecurity can still be part of all our lives. The promise is that fear of economic insecurity will leave us. Fear of it will leave us. So you can have money or not, and it's okay. You can have credit cards or not, and it's okay. You can live a very simple life, and it's okay. I like that. I consider that. That strikes a very resilient chord to me, but there are reasons for that. Let's see. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. That starts happening. All of a sudden that tug, that little nudge says, pay attention to this. And you pay attention to it that you never paid attention to before. One example, someone told me in Berkeley, if it's after 11 o'clock at night and it seems like a good idea, it's not. That little piece of information will intuitively help you handle a lot of things. Just check the watch, you know. I think I'm going to Telegraph Avenue and see what's happening. It's 1 a.m. I think I'll stay home. If it's 11 in the morning, go on down. It's okay. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. This is the great fact for us. See, by the time we get into Alcoholics Anonymous, most of us, you know, high-bottom drunks, low-bottom drunks, when do you hit your bottom? You hit your bottom when you stop digging. That's when you hit your bottom. And some of us are real dumb, and it takes us a long time to find out we're, you know, digging through granite, but we'll keep doing it. When we get here, there's a level of exhaustion, and there's a level of burnout, and there's a level of cynicism, and there's a level of fear that just isolates and paralyzes us. God works through people. God works through creation. God works through writings, the scriptures. If it's the Quran, if it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, the big book, God works through all those kinds of things. And over time, healing happens, and we become less cynical and less afraid and less tired and less lonely. And then suddenly we have connections and friends and places to go. Irenaeus is a 4th century Christian saint who said on one occasion that the glory of God is the person fully alive. When we come into our recovery, there is an awful lot more to not drinking than not drinking. And the path we're on is a path of finding out how to be really alive women and men. What are the old ideas that have short-circuited me? What are the things that just don't work for me? what are the things that are killing me, and how can I do something new? And it's God's grace that enables us to do that. I'm absolutely convinced of it. And the way it usually works, it's like muscles. There are times of constriction and there are times of expansion, and there are times of constriction and expansion. There are times I can do a lot, there are times I can't do very much, but that's part of being alive. When we choose a life free of drugs, we choose a very special thing. And the danger is to do it alone and in isolation. That just costs so much. But we don't have to do that. We have all kinds of people to connect with. So, hooray for us. I think it's amazing that on a Thursday night, a whole bunch of people would go anywhere, you know, for any reason. How do I know I'm following a spiritual path? Well, where do your feet take you? You know, where do your feet, and if they take you to meetings, if they take you to connect with people who are living real lives, if they take you in ways of honesty and service, you're doing something real spiritual. But I don't feel spiritual. Good. It'll just confuse you. You know, it's one of the things that people who pray will notice. When you pray, you can get a lot of consolation. Consolation's when it feels real, real good. And desolation's when it feels awful. And both are real, and they're just two movements of the soul. The problem with consolation is we can get addicted to it. And then all we want to do is just feel sensational. See, all I want to do is feel God's presence all day long. Well, if that's all I feel, I'll never leave my room. So I need desolation. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Be grateful for our pain. Because our pain helps us reach out and grow. If it weren't for my pain, I would never meet you. If it weren't for my pain, I'd never go to meetings. If it weren't for pain, I wouldn't be willing to risk recovery. Consolation, desolation. And God gives lots. And things come and go. And God is the channel through all of this. Or, excuse me, God is the source. There are lots of channels. Channels change. But the source remains the same. And that's what we have our hope in. In the Jewish scriptures, as the prophets would write about God a lot, one of the things they would talk about, they'd use the word chesed. And chesed is a Hebrew word that means God's attitude towards us is one of loving kindness. And that's constant. And that God is faithful to the people. That's who God is. Now, we aren't faithful. We're not good at that. We're easily distracted and have a memory span of about 4 minutes. And anything that looks like a good idea suddenly looks like a good idea. We busy run all over and do things and get weird and end up in funny places with funny things. That's people. But God is faithful. And how do I know I'm not going to be drunk when I'm 50 years old? Well, don't drink today and trust that God is faithful and do the program. You know, and we don't have to worry about drinking. We get to experience life. Hooray. What else to say? I don't think I have anything else to say. It is about 9:30. We should all go home to our moms. One thing we probably need to do, though, is we should sing two songs, and then we can do the Lord's Prayer. These are two of my favorite songs. One is absolute schmaltz out of World War II. I'm currently going through a big World War II phase. And how does it go? The I'll Be Loving You Always, it's the codependent theme song. It's just wonderful, and we probably need to sing it. It goes like this. The first line is, I'll be loving you always with a love that's true always. Okay, it's,
I'll be loving you always
with the love that's true.
With the love that's true always.
When the things you plan.
When the things you plan.
Need a helping hand.
Need a helping hand.
I will understand.
I will understand always.
Schmaltz.
Always.
Skies may not be fair.
Skies may not be fair. Always.
That's when I'll be there.
That's when I'll be there. Always.
Not for just an hour.
Not for just an hour.
Not for just a day.
Not for just a day.
Not for just a year.
Not for just a year.
God sings that song to us all day long. Kind of nice.